be good stewards of what we have, correct? Amen. And so when you have money, and I'm not talking about that this today, but when God blesses you and you have money, God wants you to be a good steward of that money. And, you know, how many ladies love to shop? Any ladies like to shop? Z, men like to shop? See, some of you guys? Man, you know, when you go into places to shop, you need to ask God to send you to the right places at the right time. Just like anything else. Do you realize that? And then you thank him for it. So I was looking for a little sports jacket the other day, and I walked into Kohl's. And so I always go to Kohl's, and I look at the discount, because, guys, I want to teach you something here. In the discount, they got some good stuff. Yeah. So I walked in there, and I said, you know, I'm looking for a little sports jacket and need something for work and stuff. And so I walked in there. There was a $200 sports jacket for $22. And God said, that's yours. And I said, amen. And I didn't even have to ask Holly about it. How cool is that, huh? So, come on, guys. You know how that is at times. Hey, baby, you know, what you think? So I said, no, that, Lord, that's good. That's yours, amen. And he's so faithful. She wouldn't have minded anyway, but, you know, I just wanted to tell you that. Like, that lady went shopping one day, and her husband told her, said, don't you go out there and spend any money on a new dress. And you know what she did? She came home with a new dress. Sure enough, she did. She came home with a new dress. And he said, I told you not to spend money on that, you know, and said, you know, well, honey, I tried it on. It looks so good. And he said, well, baby, didn't you rebuke the devil and tell him to get behind you? And I said, yeah, I did. And when he got behind me, he said, looks good from back there, too. And so I said, amen. So anyway, hallelujah. Stand this morning. God's faithful. He's good to us, isn't he? Praise God. And you are so loved today. Amen. I want you to turn this morning, if you will. Let's go where I want to take you at this morning. Amen. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. Hallelujah. God is good. God is faithful to us. And you are loved today. Are you there? I may have you go to a different verse this morning as well, because I just want to give you some stuff this morning. I want to talk about shame and guilt and overcoming them. Shame and guilt and how to overcome them. God wants you to overcome shame and guilt today. All right? Are you there? Okay, hang on a second. I want to find something I was looking up. I love you guys. You're awesome. For by what? For by one offering, what? He has perfected forever those who are being what? Sanctify, for by one offering. Now look over at Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon is a love book of Christ and his bride. It's a picture, it's a love book of Christ and his bride, us. You are the bride of Christ. I want you to look over at Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 7, a very obscure book over there in the Old Testament, but find it here a second, because this is a powerful verse of Scripture, and I love this. Look what he says. He says to his bride, you are all fair, my love, and there is what? No spot where? In you. Wow. Isn't that awesome? That's what God thinks and sees and understands about you this morning. He says, you are all fair, my beloved, and there is no spot in you. All fair, no spot. That's how God sees you this morning. Hold up your Bible this morning. Let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name, amen. Turn to someone and say, God sees you perfect today. Wow. Man, you know, I was just talking to you guys a few minutes ago about all the, you may be seated, about all the stuff that's out there that a lot of times, you know, if you're under grace and you're hearing the grace message and you understand the revelation of grace, you don't understand what's being taught in so many churches and places, and the heaping on of guilt, condemnation, and shame by preachers. I mean, it is amazing. I was working with a man this week, And he's a Christian man, he's a believer, and I really sensed that there was a call of God on his life. And he told me, he said, yeah, there is a call of God on my life, but I go to a church, and I was really surprised when he told me the church that he went to, and then his next thing. He says, I go to this church, and he said, but they won't let me be a minister because I've been through a divorce. And I said, you know, it just took me back because I thought, you know, well, maybe many years ago, but this is now in modern day. And if I said the denomination, you'd say, wow, you know, that, yeah, I know that denomination. It's a very, if you're in the South, it's a very popular denomination. It's probably one of the largest denominations in the world, actually. And I'm going, wow. I said, really? They will not let you minister because you've been through a divorce? And you could see the guilt and the condemnation and the shame that was coming out of him in living under that type of teaching all the time. And folks, I'm telling you, you know, how much more free would the body of Christ understand the full ramification of what Jesus did on the cross for us? How much free would we be when we really see what God has done in our spirit and the full work of Jesus? Now, divorce is a horrible thing. You know, I used to preach think murder instead of divorce, because it's interesting. If you're a murderer and you get, you know, off or you get out of jail, you can be a hero and you can be a preacher. You know why? You can preach, and you know, people say, wow, he used to kill people. Just like the Apostle Paul, he was a murderer, but if you're divorced, you know, no, you can't do that, brother. Can't teach anymore, can't preach anymore. That's an amazing thing to me. Now, God hates divorce, the Bible says, but he doesn't hate the divorcee. Divorce has ramifications. I'm not talking about family and marriage this morning, although I need to do some series on that, and I think you'd really be blessed by it. But I'm really talking about, you know, God does, you know, divorce just, it shatters families. If children are involved, there's all types of ramification and all types of hurt and pain and things they have to grow up with. And, you know, a lot of stuff has to go on for people that come from divorced families. Well, they really need to come to Jesus, right, and get healed and all that. But it's amazing what people are teaching out there and how people are sitting under all this stuff. God sees reality like no one else sees it. He sees the perfection of his sons' finished work, hallelujah, in your life. Here in Hebrews 10:14, put that up again. He says, by one offering of himself at the cross, Jesus has perfected you forever. Forever. In the Old Testament, and this is what happens, that denomination I'm referring, they preach so much law, so much Old Testament, then they throw in a little bit of covenant, you know, just to, you know, to try to get people to be born again, right? They throw in a little bit of covenant, but a lot of guilt, a lot of condemnation on people out of the Old Covenant. And out of the Old Covenant, once a year, the people were reminded of their sins every year. And the reason Jesus came as the offering, as the substitute, so you and I would never have to be reminded of our faults and failures again. We don't have to live under shame any longer. We can live in the freedom of the Holy Spirit and the perfected love of God in our spirit and hearts. Woo! That doesn't excite you? Something's wrong with your exciter this morning. 2 Corinthians 5:21. What does it say? For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The blood of Christ perfected you when you were born again in your spirit. If you are conscious of your sins, then you are not honoring the work of Christ. If you are conscious of your sins, then you're not honoring the full work of Christ. You all ain't hearing what I'm saying this morning. The enemy wants you to be sin conscious, and people also are good at pointing out your past and your failures. We're going to talk about that if I get down that far this morning, because I really have about 5 hours of teaching here that I'm going to try to wrap up in a very short time for you, for your sake. But you may think that you are being humble or holy by being sin conscious. Oh, I'm just a poor old sinner. But do you know that the Bible calls sin consciousness an evil conscience? The Bible calls sin consciousness an evil conscience. Guys, we cannot fully understand our faith and where we are positioned in Christ if we and cannot fully receive everything that we have if we are sin conscious. God doesn't want you to be sin conscious. He wants you to be Jesus conscious. He calls sin conscious and evil conscious. Look at Hebrews 10, 21 through 22. Look at this. Hebrews 10, 21 through 22. Written to Jewish believers, by the way. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in what? Full assurance of faith. Full assurance. When you're in sin consciousness, your faith is hindered. And if your faith is hindered, you're not able to receive the fullness of the blessing that God has for you. If your faith is being hindered, you're not able to receive the fullness of what God has for you. And so many people aren't walking in the fullness of God because they're constantly being reminded, even in their own hearts and mind, of their failure. Turn to somebody and say, get over that. Amen. Look at this. He said, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from what? An evil conscience. To be sin conscious is to have an evil conscience. Wow, think about that. He says, let us draw near full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. What does the writer mean by evil conscience? If you read the beginning of that same chapter, Hebrews 10, verse 2, he's talking about a consciousness of sin, having a consciousness of sin. Paul calls it a conscience seared with a hot iron. 1 Timothy 4:2. Look at that a second. Because we've heard this verse of Scripture so much, and we bear it out like, you know, what, have you sinned so much now, your conscience is seared. That is not what it's saying. How many has ever heard that taught like that? Anybody besides two of you? Anybody ever heard, well, they've sinned so much now that their conscience is seared and they're doomed? Anybody ever heard that? I sat under that. Maybe you didn't sit under that. You guys that have come into the revelation of grace and you've just come into the revelation, or you know, you just received that revelation of God's grace and goodness and love unconditional to you, you are a blessed people. You should just be, whoa! Hallelujah. And then us that came out of legalism and law and guilt and all that preaching laid on us, we should really be shouting. Amen? Wow. Man. Look at what he says. 1 Timothy, put up, speaking lies and hypocrisies have their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Boy, that makes some from good condemnation preaching right there. You can get on that and you can just preach all day. You sin so much that your conscience is seared and you're going to hell. There's no hope for you. That is a lie from hell. Well, Pastor, what does that really mean? The Greek word for seared means to carry about with you a perpetual consciousness of sin. If you're carrying about with you a perpetual consciousness of sin, then you're not able to receive anything from God because you're walking under condemnation constantly all the time. And that is what that word means. That is a powerful revelation. And I know people all the time, they're carrying about with them the consciousness of their failures and their sins, and it's brought up to them. If the enemy doesn't bring it up, somebody else brings it up. You know what, folks? You need to understand the freedom we have in Christ and the total finished work, and the blood of Jesus was enough to cleanse you from every sin. Praise God. Hallelujah. God doesn't want you walking in a state of sin consciousness. He wants you walking in the state of freedom, of His love and His grace. Anybody get anything yet? So don't carry with you an evil seared conscience. Your lifetime of sins have already been punished fully in the body of Christ at the cross. Amen. And be conscious instead of the perfection of the righteousness of God in you. What do I do when I blew it? Well, when you blow it, you just say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Because God's already taken care of that mess. Hello? Wow. Shame can result from any number of circumstances. Amen. But you've got to reject that in the name of Jesus. Don't let shame and guilt come into your life. Let me give you an Old Testament example. Look at Ezra. Ezra here was so conscious of his failure. Ezra chapter 9, verse 5 and 6. Ezra was embarrassed and ashamed to look at God. And that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. The reason a lot of people don't come into fellowship is because they're embarrassed by what they've done. And so they don't want to come into church. They don't want to attend church. They don't want to hang out with people because they're so embarrassed by what they've done. And that's the ploy of the enemy, is to embarrass and shame you. Look what Ezra said. At the evening sacrifice, I rose from my fasting, and having torn my garment and my robe, I fell on my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord my God. And I said, oh my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift my face to you, my God, for our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has grown up to what? The heavens. When we believe that Jesus actually became the shame for us, the guilt for us, and he took it away forever, we will have a conscience and confidence that will never be ashamed again. Hallelujah. Though you've been divorced, though you've been here, though you've been there, God loves you and he's totally forgiven you. Man, that is the good news of the gospel. That should make you shout, amen, that you're so free in him, freely to receive. You can't be freely to give unless you are freely to receive. And the reason people can't give is because they're not free to receive what God's done for them. Turn to somebody and say, he's really preaching good to you right now, right? When we believe that Jesus actually became shame so he could take away that forever, we have the confidence in God. Amen. We have the confidence in God. Look at Isaiah 56. 50, verse 6 and 7. 50, verse 6 and 7. Look at this powerful, powerful revelation of Christ out of the Old Testament. He says, I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from what? From shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint. And I know that I will not what? I know that I will not what? Be ashamed. Wow. That's what Christ has done for us. He took the shame. He took the guilt. So you and I don't have to take the shame and the guilt any longer. You know, I'm really teaching to somebody this morning that you've just been struggling, you know, maybe in your failures, maybe you feel like you fail again and again, but I'm telling you the forgiveness of God is there to help you, has forgiven you, wants to lift you up, wants you to know how much he loves you, how much he cares for you today. You know, the greatest thing that we can preach to people is hope. Amen. People need hope. They need to know what God's done for them. Thanks, Pastor. Woohoo! Wow. We've been freed from the shame and guilt tying us to past sins. We can now move forward. The enemy will try to use our past to condemn us and shame us. But Jesus went out of his way to a Samaritan woman who was not a Jew. And as you know, the Jews were very prejudiced people. Didn't have anything to do with the Samaritans. In fact, they would go all the way around miles to avoid a shortcut through Samaria because they didn't want anything to do. But Jesus was on a mission. Turn to somebody and say, Jesus is on a mission. Amen. He's on a mission. Amen. Look at John 4. We're going to go through this a little bit. John 4, 4 through 29. I love this. Jesus went out of his way. God will go out of his way to reveal Jesus, his perfected son, in your life if you'll let him. He'll go out of his way to tell you how much he loves you today, how forgiven you are, how important you are, what a destiny he has for you. He'll go out of his way. Hallelujah. Look at John 4. But he needed to go through Samaria. He had a need to go through Samaria. God has a need in your life. He wants you to have a relationship fully with him today. He had a need to go there. When none of the Jews would go there, God said, I'm going there. God to get in your mess and straighten it out. God to get in your mess and love you. God will turn your life around for good. Hallelujah. God will lift you up out of that situation and say, you are my beloved son and daughter, who I am well pleased. Amen. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, what you've been on, what you're hooked on. God loves you today, and he says, I want to redeem your life for the good. Hallelujah. I want to make a difference in you. You are somebody to me. You are important to me. Amen. Doesn't matter where you are today, he will go out of his way for you. Man, I'm sounding more like an evangelist today than a pastor. It's probably who I am. I'm just an evangelist. I'm in the pastor's role, but I love encouraging people, especially with the good news, right? A lot of discourse. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey. Isn't that interesting? He went out of his way and he was weary from, you know, he was 100% God, but he was 100% human. He was weary from his journey, but it didn't stop him from ministering. Amen? Set thus at the well, and it was about the sixth hour. It was late. It was late in the day. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. She came after all the other women have already been there and drawn, because she was living under guilt and shame and the condemnation of the lifestyle that she had chosen to live under and been put under. And therefore, she was coming to this well, but there at that well is where Jesus was. Wow, you know, I love unexpected encounters with God, don't you? They're some of the best. Amen. Give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away in the city to buy food. They had to have money, by the way, to buy food. And you know what? He had 12 of them burly guys, and they got hungry. Kay was writing me last night, said, Dad, this is the best meal. She had a meal, her and Holly did some. It's just the best food I ever had, Dad. It was so fabulous. And I said, well, yeah. She had pork chops, collard greens. I said, man. She said, it was some of the best. She said, Dad, it was the best I've ever had. You know? I said, babe, you go on. Had some cheesecake for dessert that we took back to the hotel. So I said, all right. Then the woman Samaria said to him, how is it you even being a Jew? How is it God breaks through prejudice? God is the answer. Christ is the answer to all prejudice in this life. He loves people no matter what skin color they might be, no matter what they may look like. God is totally in love with you. Don't you allow any pastor, anybody to put discrimination in your life. Stand up, be proud of who you are in Jesus. Hallelujah. No matter what your body shape is, I'm not going to get into all that today. I wanted to, because a lot of people feel like, you know what, the world has put on them to look a certain way. I'm going to tell you, God loves you whether you got skinny legs or not. Hello? God loves you whether you got hair on your head or not. God loves you. Praise God. Amen. Whether you overweight, underweight, or in between. You all should be shouting right there. Amen. God loves you. Don't let people put you into some form and put condemnation of shame. The Bible says you were fearfully, listen to me. The Bible says you were fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you just the way you are, and you need to rejoice with how he made you. Say, thank you, Lord. I look good today. You know why? Because I'm made in your image. And God, you don't make junk. Amen. Praise God. Oh, yuck. Amen. Ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman. How could that be? Especially even a man asking, you know, if only you knew who I was, right? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Look at that. The Jews have nothing to do with them. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. If only you knew, if you only had a revelation. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water?" She asked the question, "Are you greater than the father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, and asked as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will what? Thirst again." This natural water will thirst again. But what? Next verse. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will what? Never thirst again." Folks, that's where we live at. God says, "I want to be a constant refreshing in your life, not under shame, not under guilt." Man, I didn't know I was going to stop here, but I'm not going to stop. I'm going to go through this, but we're going to finish this up. "But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into what? Everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir," you think she was thirsty? She was living under guilt, shame, and condemnation. I'm going to tell you why. Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." Go call your husband and come here. He had a revelation, knew exactly where she was, exactly what was going on. Then the woman answered and said, "I have no husband. I have no husband." Look at this. Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five. Talking about in that society, the guilt she must have felt, the condemnation she must have been living on. No wonder she had to go out to the well at the noon hour when all the women had already left. There she was, standing with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the greatest grace giver there ever was. Amen. And she said, "I have had five." He said, "You have had five, and the one you now have is not your husband." She was living with a guy. Can you imagine that? She's living with a guy. She shacked up with a guy. She'd had five husbands, and now she's got a sixth guy. Wow. Churches would have kicked her way out. You know, you couldn't sit on the deacon board, any board. You couldn't do any. You couldn't even work in the nursery, baby. You're not coming to this place. Can you see the love of God in this? Can you guys see how God loves you so much? Had five husbands. Now she's shacked up with a guy. Okay. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive." She was pretty sharp. "I perceive that you are a prophet." Wow, our fathers worshiped in the mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is from or come through the Jews, Jesus Christ. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in what? Spirit and truth." His word, "For the Father is seeking such to worship him." God is spirit, and those who worship him must what? That's who God is. God is spirit. Man, he worship him in spirit and in his word out of the truth. The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." She was believing and looking for the Messiah. Though she was a Samaritan, though she was an outcast considered, she was still looking for the hope. Amen. Jesus said to her, whoa, can you imagine that? Jesus revealed to this woman who was living under shame, under condemnation, it had five husbands and now had another guy, and yet he chose to reveal to her who he is. That's what God says to you today. No matter what shame, guilt you may be under, let me tell you who I am. I am greater than all of that. Amen. And my name is Jesus, and I have forgiven you of every one of them. Glory to God. Woo! Man, an outcast, a Samaritan, had five husbands, living with a guy, and Jesus says, "Guess what? I just showed up at your party." Hallelujah. I speak to you. Man, that is, to me, that is the most loving revelation of God's goodness and forgiveness there is. Look what she said. At this point, his disciples came and they marveled. Religious guys over here. They marveled that he would talk with a woman, yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot. She came with this little empty water pot, and she left with the fountain of life. She laid down that guilt, that shame, and that's all it is, guys, is an empty water pot. Your guilt and shame, that's all that there is an empty water pot. There's nothing there. You need to pick up the living water of life in Jesus Christ today. He is the all in all. Amen. You need to be feeding and living off of this freedom that we have in his grace and love. And she went her way into the city and said to who? Who does she go to? She go to the ones that hurt her, the ones that probably abused her. She didn't go to the women. She went to the men. The men probably all knew her very well. But she was able to face up under all that guilt that she'd been living under, to go to those men and tell them about Jesus. When you're free, man, you can go places and tell people you're not living under that stuff any longer. Wow. Went to the men. I thought that was so cool. Come see a man. Come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. Wow. She went to the men. She became an evangelist. She went back in the city, said, "Come out. Let me show you a man. Couldn't this not be the Christ?" I'm telling you guys, when you're freeing in Jesus, when you understand your freedom, when you understand what God's done for you on the cross, when you understand all the shame, all the guilt, all the condemnation is under the blood of Christ, you can rise up in faith. You can receive everything God has for you. Hallelujah. He is nothing but good. Get out of that shame thought life. Get out of that condemnation thought life. Get over here into the grace life of forgiveness, unconditional love, and everything that he has for you today. Amen. You're able to receive by faith now because you're not living there any longer. I said you're not living there any longer. Drop the water pot. Pick up the well of living water that never shall run dry. Drop the water pot. It's empty. Pick up the well that never is going to run dry. That well is continually flowing, continually refreshing. The blood of Jesus is continually refreshing, continually flowing. Amen. Stand up today. Praise God. God is faithful and God is good. Come on, give God some praise this morning. Amen. Woo! I've got so much I got to share with you out of this, guys, because there's so much that man, I just want our people to be free in Christ and know what they have and be free to receive everything God has for you and your families and your life. Amen. Not walking under this guilt, not walking under our pain, not walking under all that stuff, but walking in the freedom God has provided through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hold up your hands today. Let's worship him. Father, thank you today. First of all, God, that you've set us free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you for the revelation of grace. Thank you, Lord, that you went past the borders into our life. Amen. You went past the guilt, the shame, the condemnation, and your blood has been applied to our spirit. And God, in our spirit today, we are perfected in every way. Thank you for that today. God, we are free to receive all the good things you have for us. We're not going to allow the enemy to dump on us any longer. God, we are set free and we are free to give this morning. Declare out of your mouth this morning, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have been totally forgiven. My guilt and my shame are under the blood of Christ. I am freely to receive everything, everything, everything God has for me. My healing is mine today. Prosperity is mine today. Peace is mine today. Everything God has is mine today. I receive it now. I receive it now. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give God some praise. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody this morning and say, I am so free. How about you? Praise God. Amen. Love you guys. Love you, man. Praise the Lord.